your boy Hazy. There was a presser yesterday with Stevie Stricker. He said, you know what? I talked to Patty Reed, and this is what goes down. He says, Patty Reed handled not being on the Ryder Cup like a true champion and a pro. Patty Reed then proceeds to go on Twitter and like every tweet that says Steve Stricker is a donkey and a moron. And it's like, why would you do that? Like, he liked all the ones. It's like, this guy's a jackass. You should have put Reed. You look at the likes, Patrick Reed. It's like,
wow.
He's setting himself up for some sort of an explanation. I'm not sure he cares. I'm also not sure it's him. Remember, there was a weird...
Dude, he had some, like,
burner
ghost account
tweet.
Yeah. That apparently, who knows, people were saying his wife was running it because there were almost identical tweets. But at the end of the day, I think he was terrible in Paris at the Ryder Cup a couple years ago. But before that, I believe it was in Minnesota, he was lights out putting. And he took down some big... I think he took down McIlroy in a singles match. Like, what? How big of a jerk do you have to be for them to just say, like, the short game and the putting on this character is outrageous for them to say, this guy's a goon, we're not taking him.
Right, and he loves it, too. He loves the moment. He loves the Ryder Cup. He loves the President's
loves
Cup.
It.
He loves match play. I thought it had more to do with the fact that he was hospitalized recently for pneumonia. Like, I thought that was more of the reason to take him out of the running is that he wasn't – because he didn't play down the stretch. He didn't play – he pulled himself out of the last two tournaments, and then I don't think he qualified for the Tour Championship. So he was in rough shape and in bad shape. But the No Laying Up guys tweeted this out earlier, too, that, like, Koepka's injured. There's a chance Koepka has to pull out of the tournament. And Reed could have been the replacement, but now that he's gone on this liking.
Can you imagine Strick? Sorry, Jamie. Strick said, we're going to keep you in mind if you're our first replacement if anyone's injured. And then Strick goes on Twitter and sees all the likes. He'd be like, screw it. Screw this guy.
Right, I'm not bringing this guy in. Why would you if you're Steve Stricker now?
But aren't they afraid this guy would cheat? Isn't he the one
no.
who's like in the gray area sometimes?
Oh, he's in the gray area. Yeah, right. He's right in the gray area.
He played in the President's Cup in Australia right after he was raking bunkers with his sand wedge and then hitting shots at Tiger's tournament. And he showed up, and people were chirping him in practice rounds in Australia saying, where's the rake, pal? Where's your little purse? Yeah. But he just, I don't know, he's an interesting character, I'll say that. But he just went right to Twitter and started liking all these negative tweets. It's outrageous.
That's where it's at nowadays. You see, every type of, like, I guess, disagreement. Remember, was it Kyrie and LeBron? Like, Kyrie stopped following LeBron on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Like, and people pick up on this, right? Like, it's
always.
Nowadays, it's the online pettiness instead of Reed telling him, you know what, go to hell. You know what?
Oh, yeah. Shove it's like the first here. Thing that happened with Trevor Bauer and his situation in Los Angeles. It wasn't like players have spoken out against Trevor Bauer and voiced their opinions. The first comments I saw were, numerous Dodger players have unfollowed Trevor Bauer on social media.
Right. Like,
that's the first step towards whatever is going on between teammates. It's like, who's unfollowing who?
Happens every single offseason when a guy has, you know, someone has issued an outstanding trade request when he takes the name out of his Instagram handle or, you know, changes his picture up. And
hockey
no longer...
player for Max Domi did it. Montreal Canadiens,
yeah.
Gone.
That's right.
Gone.
Yep.
I
and then
think
he was
did
gone.
It for
he
Columbus
was out. He's in Columbus.
This summer. I think he did it for Columbus, too, though, this summer. Just said hockey player or something. I'd have to look. But...
Oh, I don't know about that, but I remember in Montreal, absolutely. One day he was a proud member of the Montreal Canadiens. The next day he was just, you know, from Toronto.
I think there's something, too, that when an athlete does that, it's like, okay, they don't want to go back there.
Yeah,
they're done.
I'm out.
Exactly.
Like, that's exactly what's coming and what's happening. Look at yesterday's story with Alfonso Davies. You know, we talked about it yesterday afternoon. He posts a picture with a caption that was, I guess he's claiming misleading, but listen, he wrote, they won't realize how big of a part you play until you're not there to play it anymore. before a match he wasn't playing in. So right. How else were people supposed to read that in 2021, where social media and being passive aggressive on it ultimately can dictate truly how you feel? He had to come out and issue a statement via Twitter saying it's nothing, it's just a caption, you know, go Canada, wish I was there. And crazy enough, they didn't need him last night, man. They rolled on El Salvador. They were up 2-0 11 minutes into the game.
Right.
Like, that's – they got 5 points through the first three games. They might be – they're moving in the direction of a World Cup berth, man. They still got 11 games to go and tough ones still to come. But, man, they're looking pretty good. Like, shout out to John Herdman. I liked the way he was coaching last night. I liked his tactics.
You're on the same line.
Why isn't he on? Him.
He'll be on tomorrow, I believe, because he doesn't want to come on with me. I'm off tomorrow, and I think he's thinking I can't go on with the
coach. Don't have him on. I don't want to have him on tomorrow. I want to have him on when you're on, because I want to hear this garbage.
Well,
I got people sending me. I got people sending me pictures of your bag tag at your golf course that doesn't say Brian Hayes. It says Coach on it. I wanted
to
throw up.
Does it say Coach on there? Did you get one? A bag tag that says Coach?
Yeah, my boy DQ, your boy as well, he hooked me up. I showed up at the course this morning. They said, Coach, great to see you. Beautiful morning. I said,
Coach, how you doing?
Yeah, there it is. Who was that? Brad Johnson yesterday calling me Coach?
Oh, Coach, yeah. How you doing?
Yeah, I love it. So that'll be John Herdman whenever he's on with me. I'm sure he'll address me as Coach as well. But, all right, we got to get to the picks here because Luke Wilson's coming up in about 5 minutes, and Al's brother's just waiting patiently in studio. He's just sitting in there. And he's officially going to be on the clock here because Team Al Dog, it is go time. And today's NFL picks for week one is back and brought to you by BookSeats.com, custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world. BookSeats.com, simplifying the way fans travel. Al's brother, you look like a man who is prepared to pick winners. Do you feel like a man who is prepared to pick winners?
This is a new year in Team Al Dog.
You're talking with me first. You're not ripping off picks here, bud. I just want you to know that. You know that?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
You understand the format. Thursday night is a $200 bet.
Yep.
Sunday each is a hunch, and Monday is the big, whatever you want to call it, at five hunch for Monday nighters. So let's speak wisely here. Let's think and act accordingly.
Well, so we're going tonight's game first, correct?
Yes, we'll start with tonight's game, and then you guys can go back and forth. You're on the clock. Very courteous of myself, I think.
Let's be – we all have to be on the same page as far as the line here.
It's 9.5. Like, that's the current line. Al's brother, you're looking at it. You know what it is.
It's moved a lot. It started at 6.5. It yesterday was up to 8.5, and today it woke up to be bet all the way up to 9.5. But you know what? Oh, we're on the same page. We spoke about this game specifically earlier today.
Yes, we
did. We both see a double-digit win here for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So we are definitely going with the reigning champ. Starting it off hot, going with the Bucs, -9.5.
Is that official? You're locking that in?
It in like Big Brother. Lock in your answer.
Lock in your answers. Okay, I'm going to need an answer.
Now.
Okay, there it is. You guys are locking it in. The Bucs at -9.5. Yeah. What a number to start the year. I like the dogs barking early in the season. You know that's my philosophy.
Not in this situation.
Listen, man, my boy Dak Prescott, I think he will be nimble tonight. Nimble in the pocket. I think CeeDee Lamb goes off for a $120. Zeke he's thin and he's ready to run through the line. Yeah.
You don't even sound confident in what
you're
saying.
No, I know. He's making up stuff. Yeah. Zeke is thin.
You know what it sounds like tonight, though? This screams backdoor cover. 9.5 is a massive number. That's what I'm seeking out. I'm hoping for a backdoor cover where – you know, it's a 16-point lead late. Cowboys somehow throw up a Hail Mary, score a touchdown, kick the PAT, and boom, I somehow cover the number.
Will there be an overreaction tomorrow regardless of what happens?
Yes.
Like Dak, say the Cowboys win. Dak's MVP, Dak's back, the Cowboys, or vice versa. The Cowboys just get rinsed. Like, you think it's overreaction regardless.
Yeah, that's correct? The nature of the sport in week one in the NFL. I think so.
Especially the Cowboys, right? Like, right. They're like the Leafs. The Leafs go out, lay a stinker. Everyone's saying, oh, they're done for the year.
Didn't need to bring that up, Al's brother. This is a football segment.
Well, I think, you know, the nature and way in which they lose, they were talking about that this morning. I think on Dan Patrick was talking about it this morning, that, you know, if they lose by one, and it's a close game, Dallas will be able – like, Dallas is not going in here thinking they're going to win.
No.
They're up against it. They're in a tough spot against Tampa. So I think the expectation is they lose. But if you get your doors blown off, then it's panic. You know, you lose 41-7 tonight, it's like you embarrassed yourself. But if it's a close game, then I think Dallas can take some solace in that. All right, you guys are on the board with the Bucks. We'll get to the rest of the picks later this hour. And I'm going to be on the clock for two games, and you guys will pick, I guess, the middle one. Is that the way we're going to do it?
That's sure. Right.
Okay, Steelers, Bills, you guys will be on Kansas City, Cleveland, Al's brother. So you guys need to think about that. That'll be your pick, and then I'll pick the Sunday night of Rams, Bears. Big spreads in week one. But we'll get to our other Sunday slate of games a little bit later in the hour. So good start, Al's brother. Good start, Team Al Dog. Best of luck this year. I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys have in store.
We're not screwing around this year either. Whatever you owe, and that's it.
That's the way it works, man. I'm absolutely 100% with you on that. So today's NFL Picks for Week 1 was brought to you by our friends at BookSeats.com, custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world. BookSeats.com, simplifying the way fans travel. All right, so we're going to call up Luke Wilson here in just a moment, and he's the newest member of the TSN football analysis team. You know, and longtime NFLer, tight end in Seattle. We've had him on a bunch, and he's going to join us, I believe, weekly here on Overdrive. It's awesome to have him a part of the crew, and it's go time tonight. Here he is, longtime NFL tight end, good Canadian boy, TSN NFL analyst Luke Wilson. What's happening, Luke?
How are we doing?
Doing very well. How are you doing? How are you feeling about the new season and the big game tonight?
I'm excited. You know, I think it'll be interesting. I think it'll be a big night for Terrific Tom and the Bucks, but I think it's going to be a really great season. A lot of, you know, teams have really look a lot different, you know, with the lot of off-season moves. But I got a feeling that the team to beat is still Tom Brady's Buccaneers.
Are people coming up to you? I know when I first retired from hockey and they're just like, I've got to make this bet on whatever this game. Are they, like, trying to pick your brain now that you're not playing? It just... they want your info, like, you know, and you're going to pick winners every time. Has that happened yet?
Not yet, but I think, you know, I call it the honeymoon phase of retirement. So I'm kind of still in that honeymoon phase where I haven't been too close to the football world and the gambling side of it yet. So I got a feeling that might be coming down the pipeline, though.
Oh, yeah, that's coming down the pipeline. I can guarantee you that. What about as a player? I mean, it's all about optimism at this point. League-wide, but when you've gone through camp, if you're healthy, if you're on a good team, what's your mindset going into week one? Do you allow yourself to overreact if something goes wrong for you in the first week of the season?
Yeah, you know, I think so. You know, one of the things with the NFL is every team is very, very talented. You know, and I know it's kind of a bit of a stranger deal here for maybe some of the fans, but when you're day in and day out with, you know, different teams, you realize that, like, the degree of separation of talent is really not big. You know, I remember the year I played in Detroit, we went 6-10 that year. But going into week one, the first play of the game was a pick six. Quandre Diggs picked it off. We were playing the Jets, and that was a pretty grueling camp under Matt Patricia. And I remember sitting there thinking on the sideline, like, he's right, man. This is the Patriot way. Like, we're going to win the Super Bowl this year. And I think we lost that game by 40, and it was kind of at that point that we needed to hit the panic button a little bit, because I'm like, that's not good. If you lose the Jets by 40, we got some problems. But so to kind of answer your question, it is a bit of a harsh reality for a lot of teams, because you sit there through 5-6 weeks of camp, you know, you see the talent you have, and everybody kind of thinks, like, hey, even if you're not ranked in the top 10, you know, you do think this should be our year. We have the pieces, et cetera, et cetera. And week one can be a very, very harsh reality for a lot of teams.
Were you ever on a team where you knew you guys weren't that good? Yes, everyone's talented to play in the league, but you're like, all right, it's going to be a struggle this year. And after the first couple games, you're like, it's a reality. I played on an expansion team in the NHL. We knew it was going to be a battle all season long, and it was collective in the dressing room. We're like, hey, we got to survive here. You ever have to have those kind of thoughts or really been conversations with your teammates in the room?
You know, I think the only year that I was that that might have happened was probably in Detroit. But again, it was Matt Patricia's first year, you know, and the Patriots kind of have it like in a, like a, almost like a mystique about them and the way they coach. So although everything was different, and the roster was still very talented, it wasn't until probably week 8 or week 9 where it was finally like, you know what? This is not going to be a very fun last 8 games. But the good news is we could start booking vacations early.
Yeah, we love that kind of chatter on this show.
Boy, the U-Haul talk.
Expedia.
Oh, the U-Haul packed and you're on Expedia. Yeah, like there's nothing better than that. And you can see it. Like I can obviously you know it when you're in the room, but like I'm watching from home, I'm like, this team, they have plans for January.
Plan.
Like big
and
plans.
And to be honest with you, in the NFL, I'm sure it goes across all sports, but there's so many, much like, I mean, people's jobs, riding. And when you start losing like that, it is such a miserable atmosphere. And it's a, you know, you go from a game like football that is so team-oriented to it's now the blame game because somebody's going to have to pay the piper and get fired, players or coaches. And, you know, then it gets even more toxic because you're like, this coach is blaming the tight end coach and the tight end coach is blaming the O-line and your OC is now not talking to your O-line coach. And it's like the players are caught in the middle of it and it's just not a, you know, and that's when the Expedia is, you just said, you know, you might book 2 vacations or you just sit there after work every day, like counting the days until you're in, for me it was, I know this isn't exotic, but for me it was Banff, Alberta that year. I was never been to Banff. I'm like, I'm going to Banff. It was mid-January. I was out of there.
I like the guy that books his wedding like in, like during the Stanley Cup Finals and you haven't even made the playoffs or been eliminated yet. It's like, why are you booking your wedding when you don't even know? Like, you're basically saying we have no shot to go to the Stanley Cup Finals if you're booking your wedding. It's just stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, but as you know, those long seasons can play tricks on a lot of people's minds. So we've all been there for that.
Oh, absolutely. We're chatting with Luke Wilson, longtime NFL tight end and TSN football analyst ahead of the season opener tonight, Tampa taking on Dallas. You can hear it right here on TSN Radio. Watch it on TSN. Well, on top of all that, you can have quarterback controversy or potential controversy. It kind of sounds like that could be hovering over your former team, your longtime team in Seattle, where, you know, there were a lot of rumors that maybe Russ wanted out of Seattle and maybe he's unhappy or more. Maybe he wants help. How much pressure is on Pete Carroll and the Seahawks to get Russell Wilson back into a prominent playoff position where he can do some more damage like he did when he first came into the league?
You know, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm a little biased here. But kind of one of those things for me where I thought that was a bit blown out of proportion. And, you know, everyone remembers the last game of the season and – obviously, we lost to the Rams in the divisional round. The wild card round, I believe it was. But, you know, the same token, we did win the division last year. You know, and it's one right. of those things where Russ had a very good season. Now, he had a much better first half than a second half. But I don't think that, you know, the way Pete operates, that high energy, very positivity, you know, driven organization, that there's going to be many people that, you know, sit on the edge of their seat in that building. It's a very, you know, it's a high-performance atmosphere, but he does make people very comfortable, you know, with competing. It's not a dictatorship by any means. So although I think what, you know, happened last year was there was so much promise. In 2019, we get knocked out by Green Bay, have a good year, and, you know, everything's kind of set up looking for a great season, and we kind of struggle in the back half, squeeze out the division, then get bounced the first playoff game. A lot of, you know, frustrations kind of boiled over on numerous parties, but, you know, on Russ's side, his makes media because he's the megastar. And, you know, it's tough. It was a tough pill to swallow and, you know, losing to a divisional team in the playoffs. But I got a feeling with, you know, the new OC there, Shane Waldron, there'll probably be some, you know, a little learning curve. But that team will win some games this year.
Luke, we were talking about the young quarterbacks in the league and how much basically they were the talk of the offseason and how difficult it would be for them to shine with their teams being so bad. Do you think any of them will have enough positive impact on their organization for the team not to be as garbage as everyone thinks? Like almost be a dominant player immediately and say, well, this team's not that bad with that guy at the helm?
To put it bluntly, no. I know it's a short answer, but I don't, you know, I just don't see it. You know, Chicago, I think they're going to roll with Andy Dalton. And, you know, I'm trying to think of the other young guys and the guys that have around them. It's just tough. You know, it's tough as a first year guy, to come in, pick up this offense and also, you know, see defenses, and the preseason is the preseason. And it is drastically different than week one. You know, it might not look different to the uncommon eye, but you're looking at defensive coordinators that have not shown any of their cards. You know, how many first-string defenses have really played and played, you know, their traditional scheme in the preseason? Not many. And now all of a sudden, it's like the intensity level is definitely up a notch. You've got guys coming from different angles, directions, different schemes. And God forbid, you know, in the first couple of weeks, they find it's similar to like a pitcher or a hitter in baseball where, you know, if you find somebody can't hit a curveball, you throw the curveball. And it'll be the same way with these rookie quarterbacks. Like if somebody struggles to, you know, against cover three or somebody struggles against, you know, disguise and pressure zones and blitzes, like they will consistently dial them up with no shame. And it's just tough to be a rookie quarterback, and very few guys can kind of come in that first year. Now it does help, I would say, if the team has a very good run game, that will take a lot of pressure off some of these rookie guys. But as far as coming out here and slinging it around, personally, I don't see anything like that happening this season. I'm not saying their careers are going to be a bust by any means, but this season it's going to take some time.
Chatting with Luke Wilson, NFL analyst here at TSN, longtime NFLer. So the game tonight, it's Tampa at home, huge favorite, and Dallas is trying to find a way to I guess, break through on the Super Bowl champs, a team that's coming back with almost everyone on both sides of the ball. Do you picture this turning into a game, and if so, how does Dallas make it a game tonight?
Well, I think that it will be a game for the first half or so. You know, I believe Dan Quinn is now the D coordinator down in Dallas, and that always throws a wrinkle. You know, one of the things with the first week here, again, is you don't have a ton of film on other teams. And with a new D coordinator and Dan Quinn, who was, you know, our D coordinator in Seattle the year we won the Super Bowl, he'll have those guys hungry and fired up. Just like he had the Legion of Boom. And just like, you know, his early years in Atlanta, he's a tremendous coach and he's a tremendous motivator. So, you know, one of the things I think that Tom Brady, from what I've heard, you know, around the league, is that he's extremely talented, but what pushes him over the edge is just his preparation. And you hear all these, like, stories of, you know, just how amazing or psychotic, if you will, his preparation is. So there might be, you know, a couple little bumps and such for him in the first half. You know, Dan Quinn's defense is not an exotic blitzing defense, so it won't be too many crazy wrinkles. But that being said, when you have Tom Brady, you know, you've got the receiving core that Tampa Bay has, where, you know, really Antonio Brown is their third guy right now.
Right.
Which is absurd. I mean, I was in camp in Oakland with Antonio Brown, and this guy is a special talent. And, I just have a hard time believing that, you know, Dallas will be able to contain that for four quarters.
What was that like with Gruden and Brown and that whole – weren't you guys on Hard Knocks that year too?
We were, yes, we were. It was it was very strange, let's put it that way.
That was a weird 3 weeks, man. That was weird.
Yeah, that was the helmet ordeal, and then there's the trade. To be honest with you, you know, a lot of my buddies would be calling me asking, like, yes, how, you know, what's AB like? And I'm like, I mean, to be honest with you, I don't know. He's not here. You know, it's like, I don't know what to tell you. And it's like, oh, because the, you know, the media would report, like, here's what's going on. As a player, it's like, how do I know what's going on? He's not here. I'm not, like, asking, you know, you're in camp fighting to make a roster. I mean, it's a football, NFL football camps are very tough on the body. The last thing I'm worried about is how Antonio Brown's helmet is fitting him. So,
But then he had really that goofy video after where it was like he got cut or let go, and then he like had this weird video to YouTube, and it was like he knew it was coming, wanted it to happen, and he claimed he was free. It was bizarre.
Well,
it was
he taped Gruden. Yeah. Remember, he catfished Gruden. Oh, and remember, God. He like burnt his feet or something, too, at one point.
Oh, yes. That's right. He had hypothermia on his feet.
That's right. Welcome. Where's the 30 for 30 on that? Like just 3 weeks in Raiders camp where he's not even around. But it sounds like the most incredible story ever.
He did show up on a, what are those hot air balloons called?
Hot air balloons.
Is that what they're called? I don't even know. But you know what I'm talking about. The things, that's how he showed up to camp, which I thought
was
pretty iconic.
Like he showed up in a basket, like floating in a hot air balloon.
Correct. Oakland used to do their camp every year in Napa Valley, kind of attached to a hotel. There was like a field. It was a whole ordeal. And I didn't know this, but the hot air balloon thing is a Napa Valley tradition. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm not a big Napa Valley frequenter. But so he showed up in the hot air balloon, which, again, I thought was pretty iconic, and then didn't really show up again.
It's a great entrance, man. I'll give him that. Yeah. That's one hell of a first impression.
That's one of the best entrances out there, I would think. Like, that's like a WWF entrance to come running out.
Right,
of
into like SummerSlam, into like an open roof, like summer event on pay-per-view. And hypothermia on his feet, catfishing Gruden. And you were right in the middle of it, and you didn't even know he was around. I mean, it didn't. That's we got to get more into this as the season goes on. Every week we'll ask you more about Antonio Brown, because there's got to be more to this story.
Oh, trust me, there's a lot more.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's great having you with us, man. It's great having you on board here at TSN. Everyone's really excited, and congrats on a great career, and good luck with the second chapter here, and we'll do this again next week.
Sounds good. I appreciate it, guys.
You got it. There he is, Luke Wilson. Good Canadian boy, longtime NFLer and TSN NFL analyst.
That's awesome. He showed up in a hot air balloon. That is kind of crazy.
Like, I didn't mean to sound like a goon when he was like, I don't know what they're called. And I said, I just think they're hot air balloons. He should have got a Brooksy.
Yeah.
Imagine a Brooksy.
I think Luke needs a Brooksy.
That's what I was saying. Like, Luke should have got a Brooksy.
Right.
Wow. 3 weeks. I mean, that's his first time with us. 3 weeks into the show, he'll get a Brooksy on that.
Yeah.
But that was think of some of the crazy entrances that guys have made.
Oh, like there's that, been that guys in the NFL show up that are contracts are up. They show up in Brinks trucks. It's just crazy some of the stuff.
Who was it that is it Cespedes that showed up on a horse?
Yes.
That's right.
At the Mets camp.
Yeah, there was a guy on a horse.
Showed up on a horse.
I don't know. I've heard stories in the summer. Like, one guy out west had his own helicopter, and he landed it on the golf course, like, to golf with the guys, which is very obnoxious.
It's incredibly obnoxious. The helicopter into the course is just so unnecessary. It's
so
loud. You know, guys are like, we're playing out here, man.
Yeah,
like,
blowing around, and he's weaving through the trees, like – in his own helicopter, which
we
is
should
ridiculous.
We should do this, though. When we're back in studio, we all have to make some elaborate entrance.
That would
like,
be
we should
awesome.
All commit to this and do it. Like, whatever, I don't know what it can be. We can come up with a million different options.
I know mine already. Al's brother running me in a rickshaw.
There you go. O can ride. Al's brother can be a horse for O, maybe. Maybe it's all revolved around Al's brother.
Exactly.
I'm sure Al's brother would be thrilled about that idea, wheeling around in a rickshaw where he's the guy putting in the sweat.
All right, like, I'll ride in Joe from the Bridges El Camino.
There
with
you go.
The fuzzy dice and the Leafs flags and all that. I'll come in in that, the Woodbridge Mobile.
There you go, the Joe from the Bridge Mobile. Al's brother with a rickshaw is, I think, on a short list. There's a lot. We got to come up with something, but I think we can do this.
Awesome.
Hot air balloon, probably not in the cards. I don't think that's going to go over. Imagine us flying over Scarborough Town over the 401 in a hot air balloon trying to get back into the studio.
We'd crash on the 401 for sure.
Oh, we'd cause a complete disaster.
Power lines. Yeah, it wouldn't 100%. Be good.
So I don't think that'll make the short list, but we're open to suggestions. All right, we got some more Hazy B, Hazy B Quiets. We got some more picks to make. Al's brother will be back in studio. We've got a football game tonight, a big Blue Jay game tonight, going for 8 in a row down at Yankee Stadium. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Al's brother will be back in studio in about 10 minutes. I will be on the clock with a couple of picks for Sunday. And then you guys will have the middle game, the 4 o'clock game, Kansas City at home against Cleveland. So we still got a few more picks to make. Big game tonight on TSN and right here on TSN Radio. Tampa Bay at home against Dallas. You got the Jays and Yankees in action tonight. Jays going for 8 in a row. They're a game and a half back of the Yankees. They win tonight. They're a half game back. And they're 2 back of Boston, and Boston's not playing tonight. So get a win, and all of a sudden you're a game and a half back of Boston. Like, what a difference 2 weeks can make in the world of sports, and especially in baseball.
Yeah.
Yankees win 13 in a row, and they're 2-9 since then. So all of a sudden 15-9 doesn't look as good as 13-0.
Cole injured too. Like, we don't know the extent of that. That's a big blow for them.
Their bullpen's in shambles, and Boston's dealing with a lot of COVID issues. You know, the Jays are just kind of cruising along here. Seattle's still in it, too. Seattle's still cruising along as well. Don't sleep on them. But we'll get to some more picks and tee up the Jays game again a little bit later in the hour. But we got to some Hazy B Quiet, NFL-related earlier. We figured we'd bring some more to the table. These will be non-NFL-related. I hope you guys are okay with that.
Yep.
Okay, we know how the way this works. A statement will be made by yours truly that has been recorded, and we'll go around the table on whether or not we believe in that, Hazy B, or we do not believe in that, Hazy B Quiet. Too many guys having big seasons for the Jays, so a major award is coming to Toronto. It's either Robbie Ray winning the Cy Young, Vladdy, or Semien winning the MVP, but it's happening. One of those guys is going to win a major award this year.
I'll say Hazy B. I mean, I don't know who's going to win.
It's probably Robbie Ray, if we're being honest. Like, Ohtani's probably winning the MVP.
Yeah.
Pretty much a lock, but
I need some kind of 50% Hazy something here, because the possibilities there, I'm going to have to say Hazy Be Quiet, because Garrett Cole's been throwing today. I don't think his injury is going to be long-term. I just think he's the guy.
He probably
is. Like you said, Ohtani's probably the MVP. I just think it's highly unlikely. I got to go Hazy Be Quiet. As good as the stories have been and as great as they've been,
mm-hmm.
I got to go Hazy Be Quiet.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go Hazy Be Quiet on myself here as well, because I think Ohtani, I think the votes are already in. You might as well collect them now. It's been a foregone conclusion for months.
It's been an amazing story.
It's an unbelievable story. You know, both sides of the ball. You can't fight it. You can't argue it. You just marvel and you say, go ahead, take your MVP.
Yeah.
Then it's about probability. Robbie Ray, I think, is right there with Lance Lynn and Garrett Cole. Right there, and should be. And I think if the vote were to happen tonight, I think he might win it. But we still got a few more starts for both. If the Jays don't make it in and the Yankees do, we know the Sox will. That might help Cole and or Lynn. So from that standpoint, playing the numbers, I'll say Hazy Be Quiet. Wish it weren't true, but I will say Hazy Be Quiet. What else do we have, Mullen? Tough news about Sidney Crosby. Surgery is going to keep him out of camp in the early parts of the season. The TSN Top 50 list will be unveiled in the next month. And I'm thinking it's finally hit the head here. Sidney Crosby will no longer be a top 10 player in the National Hockey League.
Ooh. Do you mean
spicy?
Voted by TSN people?
No, I mean period. By the end of the year, like, I guess that's the way it was phrased, but the way to look at this is Sid will not be a top 10 player this upcoming year.
I got a Hazy Be Quiet on that. I think he's got 1 or 2 years left where he could be regarded as a top 10 player. This injury doesn't help that cause, but I think he's got 1 or 2 seasons where he can be regarded as one of the top dogs still in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, I'm going to be Hazy Be Quiet on it, although you can see, and we've seen it the last couple of years, I wouldn't say the changing of the guard, but there's young players that have pushed through that are the faces of the game right now. But yeah, I don't sleep on Crosby. I don't sleep on Ovi. Those guys are so consistent. They're so competitive. That's why I'm saying Hazy, be quiet.
Yeah, I mean he had a phenomenal year last year, and he had a great second half. Like he's Sid. I mean, he's a top five player all time, top 10 player all time. But I'm gonna Hazy be on this because of the injury, no camp, slower start. And, you know, you can run off a number of names quickly with McDavid and Matthews and Draisaitl, and maybe include Vasilevsky and McKinnon and Hedman and Kucherov if he's healthy.
Kucherov, yeah.
Yeah, Panarin. Like, you can get to a list all of a sudden where you're like, okay, I could see that. And I think you can get to 10 where even if he's healthy, let's say he's 11, that's still an unbelievable compliment to a guy who's been in the league this long and is this great and still the 11th best player in the league. But right. with the injury, the surgery, the late start, I'm going to say Hazy B. He's not dropping to like 25 or anything like that. I think he's somewhere between 11 and 15, 11 and 20. And I don't think that's an insult. I think it's a compliment when you consider it. I mean, the guy's been in the league for 15 years. And two of us are saying he's still top 10.
Yeah.
Like, the guy's unbelievable. And it's tough to bet against him, but I'll say Hazy B on this one. Patrick Reed is all over Twitter and Instagram liking tweets that are carving Steve Stricker for not including him on the Ryder Cup team. I think it's erroneous. If Brooks Koepka pulls the chute and cannot perform, Reed will still get the call, and he will be on the Ryder Cup team.
Be quiet. Hazy, be quiet. We just talked that he's not getting a call. Steve Stricker will not call this guy. And I think it's basically come out that everyone can't stand him. Mm-hmm. He wasn't good in Paris, and the fact that they can't stand him, it's out. He's not
coming. On principle, too. On principle, you don't do that. Like, you just have a conversation. Unless the conversation was, you know, very candid between Stricker and Reed. Reed would say, like, hey, I'm pissed at you. I should be the guy going. Like, if he actually did it to his face and said, you know what, that's garbage. I should be on the team. And then he backed it up with some tweets. Then Stricker may think of it and go, this guy has stones. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to bring him. But it doesn't sound like if he's saying, oh, he was very good and, you know, accepted it. And then gutlessly goes on Twitter and likes a bunch of stuff. Then Stricker's going to be like, to hell with you.
Yeah, I think there is a part of me that would have to believe Steve Stricker would put the team and the country ahead of his own personal slagging on Twitter. Right, like he should. Yeah. If he genuinely believes Reed is the best pick, then get over yourself. You know, you're the captain, but you're not bigger than the team. So pick him. But I'm not sure that he looks at it that way. With the illness that he's had, Kevin Kisner is a guy that a lot of people have been calling for. They want to see him on the team.
Kevin Na, they want him too. And yeah. I'm sick of Hayes. I'm sick of the like this whole team concept. And in the past, Phil Mickelson and his pod concept, like. It's still golf, man. Like it's
right.
Although it is a team, they are a team representing the United States. It's individual golfers going there and playing well, and they just can't find a way to get it done. That's the
yeah. You got to put the best players in there. I like their team. I like
Scheffler.
And
they usually do, but they don't win.
Yeah. Well, and Europeans are loaded too, man. Like look what they're coming to the table. John Rahm's a European. He's coming to the table as number one player in the world. Among others, but I'll Hazy be quiet this too. I don't think Reed's getting in. I'm not sure he would anyway because of his form, because of his play, because of his attitude. It's not even about Stricker. It's just everything he represents. So there it is. Hazy be quiet. Some non-NFL Hazy Bees this afternoon. We like that. A double shot. One in the 4 p.m. hour. One in the 6 p.m. hour. Not bad.
I love it.
It's
awesome. We'll bring Al's brother back in here, and we'll run through the picks for Sunday. We got three games on Sunday we're going to play, and we'll tell you which ones they are. We'll give you the lines. We'll get to it. We'll tee up the Thursday nighter one more time and Jay's Yankees one more time as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Jay's Yankees tonight, Thursday nighter, Bucks taking on the Cowboys to kick off the NFL season. We know our boy Darren Detition will be watching both tonight. We're thinking of Dutchie as well. You know, tough reality, his announcement earlier today, stepping away from SportsCenter for a little while. He's been diagnosed with cancer, but Dutchie, there's no one bigger in this industry than Dutch.
Yeah.
Literally, figuratively, he'll battle. He always does. He always will. Can't wait to see him back on set. And he's a legend. We love Dutchie, and we're thinking of Dutch for sure.
Yeah, you know the Dutch. The Dutch attitude will be like, "Screw this! I'm just going to beat it." Like that's his kind of way. Of,
agreed.
Piss on it! I'm going to beat it.
Yep, that's how he operates for sure. So we're thinking of Dutch, and a shout out to him, and he'll be watching the games tonight for sure. Earlier this hour, Team Owldog made their inaugural pick of the season, taking the Bucks -9.5.
Feel good about it.
Feel good about it. 40 minutes later, you still feel good about it. Okay. I am on the clock for Sunday's slate. Steelers-Bills, the 1 p.m. game. I think the dogs are barking in week one, man. That is just too big of a number. I love Buffalo. I think Buffalo wins the AFC East. But if you're giving me 6.5, Pittsburgh's still a pretty good team. And Roethlisberger in week one is not Roethlisberger in week 17.
Yeah.
So I will take the dog. I'll take the points. I'll take Pittsburgh plus 6.5.
I think that's a garbage. That's locked, by the way. That's a garbage pick.
Locking it.
So?
Al's brother, do you not agree?
Oh, I love where we're standing here. You keep the Bills at home by a touchdown? Yes.
Idiot.
You guys pick the favorites every single time, and you lose all the time. You guys think we're playing money line. You realize the way gambling works with a point spread. But, okay, that's fine. You got Buffalo, man. You guys are on the favorites, and you love Tampa tonight.
The Steelers don't have an O-line. It's trash. So, regardless, trash. Big Ben is not going to be able to pass the ball because he'll have 2 seconds. And Najee Harris, your new prize first-round running back, there's not going to be any holes for him to run through either.
Oh, he'll find holes. Where's the pass rush on Buffalo? It was non-existent last year. I love how there's two sides
to the
coin.
They worked it all the offseason.
With who? With what?
Explain it, Al's brother.
They do not have a pass rush in Buffalo. They need to find one. And they need a run game.
They got a couple of nice guys. A.J. Epenesa, second-year player out of Iowa. He's come through big in the preseason. I think he's going to have a big year for the pass rush. You got Jerry Hughes, reliable. But you watch, their first-round pick this year, stud. He didn't play last year out of Miami. I am blanking on his name, but a big-time player. He's going to factor in this year. I'm telling you.
All right, Al's brother Kuiper Jr., I mean, you're a source of knowledge when it comes to that. I will grant you that. I'm not going to fight you on it. I'm taking the points, though. I'm on Pittsburgh. Okay, the afternoon game. This is your game. Kansas City at home against Cleveland. The Chiefs are laying 6. They're a 6-point favorite. Who do you like, Kansas City or Cleveland?
Al's brother, on behalf of our team, go ahead and make our selection.
I'm also on the dogs here with the dog pound. I like the Cleveland Brownies cover. Will they win? Maybe not. But, you know, it's what do we got, a 6-point here?
6 points.
I think they can cover the 6 points, plus Tyrann Mathieu and Frank Clark on the injury list. That's a big part of that defense, and I love what the Browns did to revamp their defense.
Right.
I think that this will be a close game, and 6 points – I'll take the dogs.
Cleveland almost had them in Kansas City in the divisional round.
They did.
Almost had them. And Mahomes left that game. They probably should have had them in the end, but it did not happen. I like that pick, though. If I was picking that game, I'd take Cleveland as well. I like the dogs. I think Cleveland's loaded on both sides of the ball. Okay. So
sneaky
you guys,
Super Bowl favorite, by the way.
Kansas City?
No, the Browns.
Oh, you
there's some Dallas Cowboy hype in that.
Like, I don't see Baker winning a Super Bowl.
Sorry, not favorite. Dark horse. Super Bowl dark horse.
Right, but worthy of a future, a little sprinkle on the future. That's what you're telling us.
Yeah. Forward.
Can Mullen hand out a attaboy Brooksy on any of these picks, too?
Not on that one.
Not yet. Not yet. At some point, believe me, they're coming, Noodles. You know that. If anyone's on a cooler, any pick they make is going to hear Brooksy.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And going to rack up some Brooksy points. All right, so that leaves me with the Sunday nighter. The Rams are at home against the Bears. The Rams are laying 7.5. Again, I just hate betting big numbers early in the season, but I'm going to take the Rams. I'm going to lay the points. I'm thinking Stafford makes a first impression.
Yes,
that defense is loaded.
That's the play.
Yeah, Andrew Dalton is the quarterback in Chicago. I'll take the Rams. I'll lay the 7.5.
At home, Sunday nighter, it's all going to work well. But I will say, I think it was, yesterday? You chirped me a little bit for saying that the Rams were a lock to be a survivor pick, and now you like them at 7.5.
That's right.
He doesn't know what he's doing, Al's brother.
I chirped the idea that it's an absolute lock. Nothing is a lock, and I'm also – I have scars that are from the L.A. Rams, right?
Yeah.
Sean McVay, Jerry Goff, the Rams. Oh, you're in the same boat as I am, so we both see it the same way. All right, so to recap, you're on the Bucks tonight, -9.5. You're on the Bills, -6.5. You're on Cleveland, +6 at Kansas City, and you are on the Bears, +7.5 against the Rams, and obviously that would mean Team Hayes is on the opposite side of it. Best of luck in Week 1, Team Al Dog.
Thank you very much.
And I work.
You notice not reciprocated? No best of luck, Team
luck.
Hayes?
We don't care.
Just
we
got this commentary already.
You know the he's my guy texts are going to start.
Oh,
like,
I can't
it's all starting.
I can't wait for it tonight. Let's get the text chain going. I'm jacked. All right, we're out of here. Good luck tonight. Enjoy the games tonight. Enjoy your evenings. We're back tomorrow at
Go Bucks Go, 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.